Greetings, I'm Laura Puccivaltorta. Welcome to a new season of my podcast, B is for Bisexual, Season 2, Episode 1. Our story today is called Robin and Zen Party with Hillbilly Lesbians, and I hope you enjoy it. Reading with me today are my son Dante.
Greetings!
And my husband Marco.
Ciao!
We all live and work in South Carolina. I'm an attorney and a content creator. My films, which are fantastic, include the feature comedy Bermuda, Disability, and the Disease Detective series, available on Amazon and the Tubi channel. We expect to have a new episode of the Disease Detective about strokes and aphasia coming out soon by the end of 2023. We're working on the edits for that right now. A shout out to listeners in Frankfurt, Canada, South Carolina, Texas, and Ireland. Dear listener, at the end of this episode, I will tell you about something exciting and new that might interest you. And now, our story, Robin and Zen Party with Hillbilly Lesbians. Sasha had no money to pay the rent, so she decided to hold a rent party at their house in Austin. She lived there with her friends, Reb and Winnie, wonderful women, financially wobbly, but spiritually solid. The food she served at the party would have Southwest, Wiccan, and Mexican overtones. Nobody was Mexican in their household, but since they were living in Texas, it was easy to improvise. They were all witches, and everybody knew they loved fish tacos, spellmaking, and grilling. "Nobody around here's got any real cash," said Winnie, who sold charms and amulets on Etsy. "But we can ask our friends for a few dollars."
"All of our friends are skint," agreed Sasha, who ran a used bookstore, art gallery, coffee shop. "So maybe we should invite some of the neighbors who are gentrifying this street. They might donate something." 2/3 of the neighbors spoke Spanish and lived in small bungalows. But there was a new kind of person moving in, buying the houses and renovating them, converting the garages to living rooms and screening rooms since they were less than a mile from South Congress. Their own dirty landlord kept increasing the rent.
"We do have a famous neighbor,"
said Reb, who volunteered at a food bank.
"He had a show on Dramedy Central for 5 years.
"He's never home," said Sasha. "Always out in Los Angeles acting or making Instagram videos."
"I saw him yesterday,"
said Reb.
"He was sunbathing on the back patio."
The houses on Turtle Creek Boulevard were all very close together, almost welded at the seams.
"Let's invite him," said Winnie. "He must have some money if he's a big Hollywood actor."
"He's a weird, nervous guy," scoffed Sasha. "Divorced from a woman, but I think he's gay."
Do, 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 do.
After a relationship desert of 3 years, Robin and Zen were finally spending some meaningful time alone at Robin's sweet house in Austin, free of fans and the public in general. It was December and the weather was fine. The grackles were cawing, and Robin, who prepared for the visit with Mexican pastries and special recipes, felt as though his heart would burst out of his chest. Zen had said he wanted to sleep, smoke some weed, and deep edit his comedy horror screenplay, Island Brothers, with Robin's help, since Robin would star in the film.
"I don't want to be on that set all alone. You need to be to join me as co-star,"
said Robin, snuggling next to Zen in the big bed. Despite the crumbs from Zen's snacks, the dusting of weed on the floor, and the tumultuous suitcases, Robin had allowed Zen to sleep in the master bedroom. Just having his arms around Zen made him hard.
"I never want to appear on camera again, man,"
intoned Zen, who had often said that their comedy duo skits, a hugely successful show for 5 years, had exhausted him.
kicked him out of bed too early every day, and inhibited his need to smoke marijuana. Too many long days. Too much work. Lately, however, he seemed to be some kind of stoned zombie. Making love to him when he was high was like kissing a department store mannequin. Robin blamed this on Zen's marriage to Kiara and their two kids, Caro and Zola. Zola, Zen. Who did that sort of thing to a baby?
We were great together on R&Z,
said Robin.
The greatest we've ever been in our lives. This horror stuff you're writing seems popular, but it scares me.
Dude, it's horror. It's supposed to be scary,
said Zen, closing his eyes.
And I made $60 million on donkey blinders.
Robin tried to keep his eyes from widening in amazement.
Nobody should have that much money.
In San Francisco, that's considered poor.
Too much dough for one person.
Zen rolled his eyes.
It's not my fault you had an expensive divorce.
You make crap movies,
said Robin.
I couldn't even watch Donkey Blinders. That poor animal. It was terrible.
He poked Zen in the stomach. Zen's latest screenplay, Island Brothers, was about two African-American friends who went to Jamaica for a wedding, only to have a vengeful witch turn them into white boys. They weren't just white, they were Icelandic.
This character, Larson, is too nerdy,
said Robin.
Not like me. I'm a fun guy.
Hey, all of my movies are about you,
said Zen.
You pretty much look white already, perfect for Island Brothers. And in Donkey Blinders, you're the donkey.
Robin punched Zen's head, which seems to wake him out of his marijuana trance. They wrestled around, tearing the sheets off the bed until Robin was on top of Zen, pinning his arms down. He reached down and kissed Zen on the lips.
There's somebody watching us,
said Zen. He pointed at the half-open curtain. Robin rolled over onto the bed.
Oh no, my neighbors.
Outside, two tall women with shaved heads and one with long spiky pink braids were spying on them, their faces astonished and laughing. Zen stood up and pulled open the curtains.
Looks like they're having fun. It's a bunch of white women, two dogs and a cat, setting up a barbecue grill. They're waving at me.
Put on some clothes,
said Robin, throwing his shirt at Zen. Zen pulled the shirt over his head, but his dick was still hanging out.
Hey, I see Crazy Walter, that guy across the street who sells weed.
Robin slapped his head.
Oh no, Sasha told me they were having their rent party tonight. We can join them later if you want. They call themselves witches.
Witches?
Said Zen.
They can help us with the screenplay.
You know, they don't really have magical powers. There's just a bunch of lesbians from Kentucky, England, and Texas.
How do you know?
Because they told me, you dumbass.
They might have magical powers. You have to leave your mind open to the possibilities.
Zen's own mother was a rich white woman from Manhattan. He imagined this left him open to all sorts of weirdness.
If you want to know about magic, spend some time in Detroit,
said Robin, which is where he had grown up.
No, forget Detroit. We need to check your neighbors out.
After eating shredded wheat, Robin, and Captain Crunch, Zen, for breakfast, they settled down for a quick read through Island Brothers.
I don't know,
said Robin.
They get in trouble with this witch in Jamaica because they insult her, but this insult doesn't seem strong enough. Wow, you're ugly, they say. So what? The woman is trying to make herself ugly.
Not ugly, exactly. Just unusual.
She's got face tattoos and a snake running through her hair. What's wrong with this woman?
The point is not that she's ugly or beautiful. She can do things to people. She's got magical powers.
Zen slapped the pages.
So the brothers can't just call her ugly. What can they say to make this woman really angry?
Well, when I tell Kiara she's fat, that makes her angry.
Robin narrowed his eyes.
Why would you say that? Of course it makes her angry. And look at your own fat ass.
Zen shook his head.
Anyway, we can't call a Jamaican woman or any woman fat on screen.
You got that right. Let's come up with something less dangerous.
Sitting together on the couch, They read through the second act of the screenplay. Soon, Zen's eyes began to close and his head nodded. Robin poked him on the shoulder until he jolted awake.
I need some coffee,
said Zen.
Fix your own coffee,
said Robin. He felt annoyed with Zen for smoking weed, getting fat, and ruining his own body.
I don't even know how to use your coffee machine,
whined Zen.
Please make it for me.
Robin left off the couch and stomped into the kitchen. He made a pot of French press, adding double the usual amount of coffee. He handed a large mug of coffee to Zen and folded his arms.
Stop smoking weed and lose some weight.
Hey, nobody tells me what to do, not even my mother.
Maybe that's the problem.
Robin kicked Zen's foot. Zen stood up.
Don't you kick me, just because you're tall and have the body of a gym rat.
He shoved Robin with both hands in the belly. They shuffled around for a few seconds until the mug of coffee crashed and spilled on the tile floor.
Whoa! Holy shit,
said Zen. He ran to get some towels from the kitchen, and they both wiped up the spill.
We need to get out of this house,
said Robin on his knees, picking up the pieces of broken mug.
Let's go see what's happening next door at Sasha's party.
Before Robin could stand, Zen grabbed his shoes and bolted out the front door. After a moment, Robin could hear Zen saying something, and in a high hoot of laughter, Zen's voice was loud, but the women were louder. Do-do-do-do! Zen was surrounded by a bunch of weirdly dressed women in spandex and overalls, many of them with their heads shaved, two men who were holding hands, and several tall women in heavy makeup and sequins as soon as he entered the yard. They were all smiling and talking at him and grabbing at his body. Robin and Zen, somebody shouted. We love your show. Two dogs started barking and jumping. There was a thick smell of incense and burned fish. Country music was blaring from a thrift store radio.
Well, hi, I'm Zen. Robin told me you were throwing a party.
He gestured back toward Robin's sanctuary house. Yeah, we spied you naked through the window, said the woman with long pink hair. I'm Sasha. This is a rent party. Nice ass, shouted one of the men who was wearing a kilt.
Yeah.
So that was it. They wanted his money. Zen broke away from the crowd and headed toward Crazy Walter, who had set up shop at the picnic table. The guy looked more put together than usual, with a Keep Austin Weird t-shirt and his curly blonde hair clean and twisted into locks. Zen dug out his wallet and threw a $20 bill onto the table.
Man, that shit you sold me last time was wonderful. Powerful, but smooth. Yeah, thanks, bro. Keep your money for the ladies' rent, you know?
He pointed toward a small plastic cauldron at the end of the table. Zen transferred the $20 bill into the pot.
Well, I'm donating my services today, man.
Walter handed Zen a hand-rolled spliff, which Zen slowly drew back and forth under his nose, inhaling deeply. It smelled like a spaghetti dinner.
Beautiful.
Zen pulled out a lighter from his shirt pocket and quickly lit up. After smoking this joint for a few minutes, Zen noticed that Robin had arrived and was flitting around greeting people on his grasshopper legs. Why was he always so nervous and pervy in a crowd, any crowd? The tarnished radio was cranking out some malarkey music, daring Zen to do something funky in a small town. What was the song inviting him to do? Walk down the street? Fart? Sing a song? That would be scary. He had a terrible voice. The weed, although very weak and more like oregano, gave him power.
Stop the music!
He shouted.
And play something with a good beat.
The chatter died down, and Walter switched off the radio. Sasha's pink head appeared in the middle of a circle. She was carrying a boombox. Today is the anniversary of Allie Willis's death, she announced. We're going to play Neutron Dance in her honor. Sasha clicked on the boombox. The backyard lit up with dance music. Zen couldn't stop his feet from moving. Robin was sashaying through a crowd of clapping women. Zen danced over to join him. The party went upwards after that with plenty of head shaking and stick figure dancing. Zen enjoyed the burned fish tacos, and there were fried plantains and watermelon salad. He obtained a second joint from Walter and donated another $10. But he shoved this one in his pocket to smoke later. Time to do some research on these witches. He cornered Sasha in the kitchen.
So where are you from?
Birmingham in the UK, said Sasha. I run the Purple Tea Room in downtown Austin.
I was a comedian,
said Zen.
But now I direct movies.
What kind of movies?
Horror and comedy.
Oh, my life is kind of like that, said Sasha. Being a gay person in America.
Is life here any different from gay life in England?
Well, we're all gay in the UK, Sasha smirked. Zen remembered his trips to London and decided this was probably true. They did all act gay. At one point, everyone gathered in a circle and burned bundles of sage. That was the Wiccan part of the evening. Zen decided that he would use this ceremony in his film for the witches scene, the Cult of the Warrior Witches. The party slowed down around midnight. Sasha was counting out the money from the cauldron. Thank you, friends, she said. We made $150. Her mouth turned down at the edges. Her voice sounded weary. So, that was what made witches angry. Not being called weird or ugly or delirious or fat or not pretty enough. What made them angry was being poor.
Is $150 enough to pay the rent, man?
Asked Crazy Walter. No, but it will cover the cost of food.
Oh, that sucks,
said Walter.
I'll pitch in the rest.
He bowed low to the ground, his forehead nearly touching the thongs of his flip-flops. The crowd cheered and began chanting, Walter, Walter. Sasha hit the boombox, which played September, another song co-written by Allie Willis. The crowd broke into another stick figure dance. Zen found Robin teaching Reb how to moonwalk and put an arm around his waist without even thinking about it.
Man, your friends are so cool,
he said.
I should spend more time here in Austin.
Definitely,
said Robin, hugging Zen tightly.
These people might be weird, but they have some sophisticated values, like generosity.
Too right.
And there's plenty of material here for stories. Horror stories. Look at how they're dressed.
It would be horrible. Really terrible,
said Robin,
if Austin turned into San Francisco.
You're right. I feel more comfortable here,
said Zen. Robin leaned over and kissed Zen on the lips. Right in front of everybody. A righteous smooch. Doo-doo-doo, the end. Dear listener, I wanted to point out to you that I have a new shop on Etsy, selling books like the short stories in this podcast series, Tall Sarcastic Tales, and vintage items such as jewelry and pottery and things like that. The shop is called gottofilms.com, just like my website. Until next time, and the next story, ciao.
Ciao. Ciao.